is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
I'm Jeremy Fulkerson, and I host the Hidden Stories podcast on the Sell or Die Network. In our podcast, we share stories of seemingly everyday people that are your neighbors, community leaders, entrepreneurs, survivors, mothers, fathers, and friends, but we don't share the regular dinner talk conversations. I believe we all want to be better spouses, friends, parents, and leaders. My hope is by hearing these hidden stories, it will give you the courage to be a better you. Find me on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Overcast, or wherever you get your podcasts. There are links in the show notes to subscribe.
It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week. All in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet.
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die. Diehards, help me welcome Antine Kraley. Get into this e-commerce world, and what lured you to drop shipping?
Yeah, so back in way back in 2006.
Oh my God, that's so far back! I can't even remember that.
So far back, yeah, way back in the day. I was just out of school, and I actually bought a business. So not an online business, but I bought a delivery route for a bakery in Brooklyn, New York. I was living on Long Island at the time, and basically I spent $25,000 for a truck and the rights to drive into Brooklyn, pick up cookies, and sell them to grocery stores on Long Island. Was doing that not for long, maybe for a month or so. And that is when a book came out called The 4-Hour Workweek, super famous book. Read it pretty much right away. It talked about e-commerce, the fact that anybody that's not technical could build a website for $29. And I thought, you know what? Let me try. I had cookies. So I made a website called NewYorkCookieShop.com. And within a few weeks, that website was making more money than that business I spent $25,000 on. So from there, I just kind of became obsessed with e-commerce, kept building more and more stores.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
So
in other words, there's no sense driving a truck into Brooklyn if you can go to the post office.
Yeah, no more traffic, no more dealing with store managers, just literally sitting in my apartment, checking orders coming in, running traffic, and making more money. So I said, okay, this works. This is for me.
Okay, so...
Well, wait a minute. Didn't you miss the fuck you as a greeting part?
Yeah. I was over it the day it started.
So that's pretty incredible, and you make it sound super easy.
Yeah.
What were some of the things that led to that business's success and your success?
So to be honest, back then with that business was very, very easy to start. One of the things that I would say helped is that I did have the relationship with this bakery. So I had the product. They were reputable, been around for decades and decades and decades. So I was able to have access to that product. And also back then, that was when Google AdWords just was not competitive at all. So I was able to simply set up some basic ads, targeting people that were not in New York. And basically I made ads for people that searched for cookies, and it would say like Miss New York Bakeries, or want products straight from New York Bakeries, click here to order. So it really didn't take much back then. Now things since then have got more competitive and got more complex, but that was successful right away.
What was the most popular order? Was it like black and white cookies?
No, chocolate cookies.
So there was we sold like these like mixed boxes of like a little of everything, like these variety packs. And I remember it was right around Christmas, and a hospital placed an order for like their whole staff. And I remember it came in and I was like, is this real? Because back then that was my biggest order at the time. It was, I think like, I don't even know, maybe 70, 80 boxes of cookies. And yeah, that was the biggest.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is cool. And what transitioned you out of that?
So after running that business for a few months, I was thinking like, okay, I'm selling these things. My average order value was maybe 20, 30 bucks because cookies aren't expensive. And then I thought, if I could do this, why can't I sell products that are more money and make more money per sale? So back then, that's actually when I first found the website Alibaba, and went on Alibaba.com, started looking at expensive items like furniture, different household goods. And then I made another website listing those products and was able to sell them as well. And once I started making, you know, $300, $400 net profit per sale,
you were able to get more than 25 grand for it?
Sold that business and then just focused on these high ticket products.
Were you able to get more than 25 grand for it?
Yeah, I actually got my money just back on that. I kept the business, the website for a little bit because the person that was buying it just wanted the route.
That's okay. At least you got your money back.
That's what they wanted, and pretty much just broke even on that.
And so talk to us. That's pretty cool. About
your
current high ticket items.
Yep.
Yeah. And so talk to us now about your current high ticket items. What does that look like?
Yeah. So the way that we do it is we build very niche specific stores. So again, let's keep going with furniture. You know, have office furniture. We sell things like different lighting, and each of those different niches gets its own store. So not just one product per store, but one product type. That's something that really helps us give, I would say, a better experience to the shopper. And we can pretty much just put everything they would possibly want on that website without distracting them. Now, what I used to do was actually import from China because I didn't know about dropshipping. So I had containers coming in from Shenzhen in China to New Jersey and to Long Beach in California. Now, the way we do it is we find companies that manufacture products like this, either overseas or in the States themselves. If they do it overseas, they already bring them into the States. Mm-hmm. They have them in their own warehouses. So we're able to advertise, get sales, and then those different partners are fulfilling the orders. So they're shipping them direct to our customers.
From Melbourne, Australia, live with Liv.
No,
Travis Jones.
You're known for making businesses foolproof.
Yeah.
What's the secret sauce?
Start with fools.
I think the biggest thing is just their business model, right? So like we'll sell a 28-day challenge over the phone to start with. And I think this is the biggest difference. Like it's like an intro offer. So when we're looking at marketing through Facebook, Instagram, or anything like that, we do mainly most of our marketing, not through Google or SEO, because we want to determine lead flow. We don't want to wait on, you know, keyword search. So we'll deliver about 100 leads a month into every single RBT, and then we coach people how to get 100 leads a month. 100 leads a month should be about 50 sales into their intro offer. So for us, we do a 28-day challenge, and this is all sold over the phone before they even come down to our business. So they pay us $200 to trial us out. So it's a paid trial. So we don't give free trials out. We do paid trials. If you want a free trial, you can pay us. So with this, like they come down, they'll pay the 40 to 50 people a month, pay us that $200 to trial us out over 28 days. And for us, this is where we give them a wow experience. We actually do what it's called is an invisible sale on the front end. So they'll come down to a seminar. We start them in two waves a month. So it's like you start this Saturday, you start in essentially in 2 weeks on a Saturday. So we bring people in and they start together. We teach them nutrition. We teach them some training. And then what we do is we have a contract underneath their seats. Like at the end of the 28 days, you automatically roll into 24 weeks at $77 a week. So I think this is a big thing for us. It's like you have up until day 28 to cancel. If you don't start seeing results and you say, this isn't for me, you simply know how you just send an email and say, I want out. And I just literally tell everyone, right? Or my staff to us, like, put your hand up. Does everyone know how to send an email? Everyone puts their hand up. It's like, fantastic. You know how to cancel, right? You just cancel by day 28. And it's like, if not, if you're getting results and you feel like this is the most amazing experience of your life, you will continue on day 29 for 24 weeks at $77 a week. So it's going to be $11 a day to change your life. Does everyone have $11 a day to change your life? Put your hand up. Everyone puts their hand up. It's like, fantastic. So what they do is they sign their contract, and then on day 29, we never actually have to reconsult them. They just auto-roll into 24 weeks at $77 a week. So that's the difference as far as us. We get people on an intro offer. We cost us about $10 to $20 per lead with Facebook ads, but they're opting in for a 28-day challenge. Our sales guys call them up. We sell one in two leads, so it's costing us about $20 to $40 per sale. So we're about $160 profitable. So after we pay a salesperson commission and their hourly rate, costs us about $113 per client acquisition, but we're making $200. So we're plus essentially $77 for actually acquiring clients. So we get paid to market. It's an investment. Most people would see it as an expense. So for us, that's what we, that's how we grow our company. The thing that holds us back right now is council permissions and finding staff. Like that's, and so that's why we started creating our own RTO, so we can start growing our own, you know, army of trainers.
It is now post time. Oh, wait. It is now time for Motivation Monday.
Here's an interesting question. Do you, it's a little bit of a philosophical question. Do you believe that self-confidence is rooted in the same things for everyone? Or do you believe that everyone sort of has a different root for that self-confidence?
Well, number one, it depends on how you were raised. If your parents told you you were stupid, that's going to deplete your self-confidence level. If your parents said you were smart and you can do anything, that's going to increase your self. So home environment plays a huge role in self-confidence. You'll never amount to anything, or you can be anything you want.
Yeah, so I, for me personally, I'll tell you what stands at the root of my self-confidence, and this took a lot of introspection and thought and trying to figure out, like, what makes me feel good about myself as a person, and it's finishing things. Mm-hmm. And so when I, whether it's, you know, chores at home or finishing a project that I'm working on, scratching something off my to-do list really affects how I feel about myself as a person, but I'm not certain that that's the same root cause everyone.
So I believe firmly as an employer, and any of you people out there who are sales managers or you own your own business, entrepreneurs, you should think about this. When your people are off, your team is off doing lots of different projects and then they don't finish it, it's like self-defeating in a way. So I totally agree with you, Doug, that people love to finish what they start, and to feel like that pride in their work is huge, is huge, because they want to know that their project is important and their project is going to contribute. And that creates confidence that you're, what you're asking them to do as an employer is important, and their contributions are important. And I think that really does lend to self-confidence.
But I think there are other people that when they get dressed up, they look in the mirror, they put nice makeup on or nice jewelry on. It might sound vain to some people, but it gives them a boost of self-confidence, whereas that's not a priority for
when
me.
You look good,
you feel good.
And when you feel good, you play good.
And when you play good, they pay good.
Cha-ching.
Deion Sanders.
All right, so I want to talk about something you guys can do right now, unless you have more from Napoleon Hill that you wanted to read.
No, but I would like to say, just in one interaction that I think will help people understand, my daughter Rebecca, when she was about the same age as Gabrielle, 10 years old, something like that, she came home and she was like all depressed. And she goes, "Daddy, I got a bad grade today in math." I said, "Rebecca, you have to be more positive." She goes, "Daddy, I'm positive I got a bad grade."
That's good. That's real good.
So she was pretty self-confident about the presentation of it. Just
so I want you guys to think about a time where a situation, maybe it was in sales, maybe it was just in life, where you didn't experience the self-confidence you wanted or wished you had experienced, okay? And this is going to be an activity, so you can write this down. This is something you might want to go back to and replay. But I want you to think about that time, and I want you to think about, what were the things you were telling yourself? What was that self-talk like? And what were those actual physiological feelings? So when you're not self-confident, there's very specific feelings that you have, that maybe you're sweating, maybe you get clammy hands. I don't know. Like, everyone has something different. And then I want you to think about, what were the actions you took as a result of not feeling confident? Because if you were more self-confident, if you had 3 times, 5 times, 10 times the self-confidence, what actions could you have taken or would you have taken? And so then I want you to write down what you could have said instead, what you could have done instead, and think about how can you just squash that negative self-talk, okay? Because when you get in that negative self-talk, and a lot of you, I know, do this, you think to yourself, like, I'm not good enough, or I'm not asking the right questions, or you start getting hard on yourself. But then it's like a shame spiral. You start getting hard on yourself for being hard on yourself.
Shame spiral. Oh, okay. I love
doom. You're in the cycle of doom. You're in the... you're in the spiral, the downward spiral that will lead you to a basement someplace in Jersey. This has been a Seller Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to the GittimerLearningAcademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone, or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone, or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.